You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Do you remember around 5 years ago when young Cleo Smith, the four-year-old girl who was abducted from a campsite north of Perth? There's a picture of Cleo's parents there holding her. Do you remember when that took place around 5 years ago? The entire state of WA, we were on the edge of our seat, hoping to find this innocent girl. During those weeks, I would often think of Cleo's parents. You know, I'm putting myself into their shoes, thinking, I wonder how I would keep myself together if my little daughter, Matilda Rose, who's roughly the same age as Cleo, if I were to look for her, I wonder how I would handle myself. And I'm picturing the pain of the parents looking into the empty bedroom with no child playing on the floor. The bed with no one sleeping on it. The booster seat with no one using it. A school bag with no one carrying it. I could imagine the parents just losing hope as the days went by without finding their daughter. The agony of missing Cleo went on, if you remember, for 18 days before she was eventually found. And you remember on Wednesday, the 3rd of November, 2021, when news broke that they found little Cleo. Wow, the joy that they found Cleo, not dead, but alive. The mother gets a knock on the door by the police in the early hours of the morning, informing that they found her alive. They tell her, we've taken her to hospital for checkups. She's safe, she's sound, and we want you to go to the hospital immediately to see your daughter. What do you think Cleo's mother's reaction would have been after hearing the news that they found her daughter alive? A joy, anticipation, peace, hope, excitement for more opportunities for kisses and more opportunities for travels and more opportunities to spend time together. And definitely it will change the way how they would live from that point onwards. You know, the resurrection story of Jesus recorded in the Bible paints a picture of the joy when these disciples heard that the Savior, their Master, is not dead, but alive. And I want to read you the Word of God with a focus on the Apostle Peter. If you have your Bible, I'll read you the passage that Cass read at the very beginning of the service in Luke 24, from verses 1 onwards. On the first day of the week, which is Sunday, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. You see, these ladies here were just doing the normal thing. You would come to the tomb of your loved one with spices to anoint them, to really show respect. It's really to, I guess, control the smell of decomposition. So they would go there ready to just anoint the body of Jesus. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Now that would have been shocking for them. Where is the body of Jesus? Did someone steal his body? What happened? Well, let's continue on. Verse 4. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes with gleaming light, lightning stood before them. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you? While he was still with you in Galilee, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Now go with me to Mark 16, verse 7. The angel said, but go, tell the disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. You notice how the angel said, tell the disciples and Peter. Interestingly, Peter. There are 11 disciples to choose from. Why not Thaddeus? Thaddeus is one of the disciples that we don't really hear about. Why not Philip? Why not Simon the Zealot? But why Peter? Well, let's continue on in the story. Luke 24, 9 to 12. When they came back from the tomb, they all told these things to the 11 and to all the others, but they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. So you picture this with me. Back in those days, unfortunately, they never took the witnesses of women seriously. And so you would never even allow a lady to stand in court as a witness. And so right here, you have these ladies who would come back to the 11 and says, he's not there. And the Greek word for nonsense is like they couldn't get their words together in a sentence. They just could not string a sentence. They're so excited that all the disciples thought that they were out of their mind. It's a bit like, let's just say, the young people. You know, if you're going to a Justin Bieber concert and you get free access to like the backstage, and now you're trying to tell your friends of that great news, good luck. They're not going to believe you, and you probably couldn't string a sentence together. But the text tells us that one disciple ran towards the tomb. Who was it? Peter. You notice that? And here's what I think. Out of all the disciples, the one that hit rock bottom over the Easter weekend was Peter. Because remember, Peter was the one who denied Jesus three times. Remember? The very Peter who, if you know in your Bible, before the arrest of Jesus, would be the Peter with his chest puffed up, saying words like this, "I am ready to go with you, Master, to death." That's what Peter said. He says, "They will all fall away, but I will never fall away." The very words of Peter. Or how about this one here? "And even if I must die with you, Master, I will not deny you." These are like the William Wallace Braveheart cries before the battle. "They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom." That's me trying to do a really poor Scottish accent right there. But do you remember what happened on Good Friday? Peter talked big, but his promises dropped like a lead balloon. I think Peter, out of all the 11, struggled the most. He felt the lowest that weekend. But when he heard the news that this Jesus, maybe he's alive, things changed. So he ran towards the tomb to see if this is true or not. Because I tell you right now, if Jesus did come back from the grave, the resurrection changes everything. And for Peter, wow, maybe the promises of Jesus for him must be true. If Jesus says that there's forgiveness, the resurrection is proof there is forgiveness. Imagine for Peter, wow, there is forgiveness for me. If Jesus says there is living hope, the resurrection is proof there is living hope. Wow, for Peter, maybe there is hope. If Jesus says there is new life, then the resurrection is proof there is new life. If Jesus says that you are not forgotten, then the resurrection is proof that you're not far gone. The late pastor Timothy Keller, he wrote these words, "If Jesus rose from the grave, then you have to accept all that he said. And if he didn't rise from the dead, then why worry about any of what he said?" That's why today is the greatest day in history, because the resurrection is proof that the claims of Jesus must be correct. Listen, friends, I want you to understand this. The Christian faith is based on this day alone. Not on Good Friday, not on Christmas. If Jesus died on Good Friday and never rose on Sunday, then he just died like any one of us, a man who died a criminal's death, and that's it. Then why should we follow him? Why should we love him or worship him? If baby Jesus was born in Bethlehem and then 33 years later died and never rose, then he is just like any other baby born in Bethlehem. In fact, Jesus is a very common Jewish name. So there would have been many baby Jesus born in Bethlehem back then. You get my point, right? John Stott puts it like this. Christianity is in its very essence a resurrection religion. Our faith is based on the resurrection of a man who died some 2,000 years ago. And if that moment never took place, Christianity collapses. As C.S. Lewis, the great Christian author, would say, then Jesus is either a liar or a lunatic, a madman. The Apostle Paul, he writes these words in 1 Corinthians 15, 14. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. Verse 17, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sin. You see that? The Christian faith is based on this day some 2,000 years ago. And because if Jesus never rose, then I guess what I'm doing right now, the preaching of God's word, or when you gather on the weekend to hear me expound the beauty of Scripture, guess what? It's useless. We're just wasting our time. Our faith, our hope, trusting in Jesus, if he never rose, I guess it's pointless. And your sin, well, you're still in sin. And the one that we sing to, the one that we lift up our hands and worship, then who are we singing to? Because I do not want to sing and worship a God who's still in the ground. I want to worship and sing and talk about and have faith in a God who died and rose and forgive my sin. That's why today is so important. So you can imagine Peter in that moment thinking, wow, I've really messed up. And someone said, he's alive. The women said, he's risen. Peter ran towards the tomb just to make sure if this is true. If you read John's gospel, there's actually a race between Peter and John. They both bolted towards the tomb, but it was Peter who went inside because he wants to make sure that if Jesus rose, then this Jesus is the real Messiah, the one who can take the mess of his Good Friday and make all things new again. Jesus said these words in John 14, 6, I am the way and the truth and the life. You see, friends, the resurrection proves that this is not just a statement, but this is a reality for you and for me. Friends, listen carefully. If things are not going to plan in your life today, in Jesus, he makes a way. If you feel confused, uncertain, and everything's over the place, in Jesus, he is your truth. If you feel empty, weary, spiritually apart from God, in Jesus, he gives you life. And this life here is not just existence. No, it's much more. This is abundant life, life to the full, eternal life, because the resurrection is our hope, that the words of Jesus must be true. He died and he rose, therefore all the claims of Jesus, I better take it seriously. Jesus says in Revelation 21, 5, behold, I am making all things new. Maybe for some of us here today, your life is a bit messed up. There's so much going on. I want you to know that the resurrection of Jesus gives you hope because he will make all things new. He is a redemptive God. He loves to restore what is broken, and he's there for you. Let me finish off with this story of a young boy who loves to paint. Every afternoon, he'll sit at the table with his paints, just going for it. Painting colors everywhere, lines all over the place. There's really no real structure. If you walk past his painting, I'm pretty sure you realize that he did not know what he was doing. Colors, I guess, clashing, shapes, unfinished, bits everywhere. One day, his older sister walked past, looked at his painting, and she was honest, and she says, "That doesn't look really great." And the boy wasn't upset. He didn't try to explain. He just smiled and said, "It's not finished yet." Anyhow, years later, the boy kept painting, he kept improving, he kept growing, and one of those messy, unfinished paintings in the past was now completed. And when the people finally saw this masterpiece, every color made sense, every line had purpose, even the parts that looked wrong were actually necessary. What once looked like a mess became something beautiful. Can I say this to you as a brother, a fellow brother in the Lord? Some of us, as you're looking at your life, you feel that your life is unfinished. It's that unfinished painting. And if you're honest today, there are things in your life that just doesn't make any sense. There is pain that you didn't expect to experience at this stage of life. There's brokenness, there's regret, confusion, disappointment. And right now, your life just feels so messy. But Resurrection Sunday reminds us of this. God is not finished yet. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are not at the end of history. We're in the middle of history. God is not finished yet. He is still doing a work today. Tim Keller, I quote him again. He says this, because the resurrection of Jesus Christ really happened, then ultimately everything is going to be all right. This means what is broken, Jesus can restore. What is lost, Jesus can redeem. What feels dead, Jesus can bring back to life. Everything is going to be all right because of the resurrection. That's my hope. That's the hope of the many people here in this room and the billions of people around the world today celebrating the resurrection, because their hope is not in of themselves, but the one who died and rose again. And because the resurrection really happened, then everything will be all right. And today, Jesus still offers that hope to anyone who says, "Well, my life is messy. There's an emptiness in my life. I don't know why this is happening to me. It's not fair. I just hope that God loves me. I just hope that God will get me through." I've got better news than that. God will make things new. God will make things all right. You know why? The resurrection says so. If God can raise his son from the grave, God can change your situation. The resurrection means that everything will be all right, brothers and sisters. And maybe you're here and you're like, "Well, my life is messy and I feel this heavy weight on me and I feel far from God." I want to say this to you, that your sins can be forgiven, your past can be wiped clean, and you can have a brand new beginning because Jesus is alive, and that Jesus is calling you back today. So right now, I want to just give us an opportunity to receive Jesus. With all eyes closed and heads bowed, just for some privacy. If your life today is messy and you don't have Jesus in your life, and on this day you want Jesus, you say, "I want a new beginning. I want my life to be made right again." then I'm going to ask you just to simply raise your hands. And I would love to pray for you to welcome Jesus into your life. Friends, the resurrection means there is hope for us. God will make all things new. God will restore all things. And God wants to do that in your situation. So if that is you this morning, if you don't know Jesus and you want Jesus into your life and you say, Jesus, I want you, can you raise your hands right now? And I would love to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anyone else? You raise your hands and you put your hands down. I tell you right now, there's a God that loves you. There's a God that wants to make things right. There's a God who extends His love for you, and He's calling you home. And He's saying there's no guilt, there's no shame that He cannot forgive. If that is you this morning, you say, yeah, Ben, I want Jesus, I need Jesus. You raise your hand and I can see you and I'll pray for you. Anyone else? Come on, that's another person. Who else? Yes, another one. Who else? Because Jesus is there for you. He changed my life when I was a teenager. And I'm so glad that I have a hope. I'm so glad that whatever happens to me, He will take care of me. Anyone else? Hallelujah. God is good. Okay. I'm going to pray this prayer. And I want everyone to pray this prayer as well. But the three people who raise your hands, I want you to really mean this prayer. And I rejoice with you. I rejoice with you. You know, I just want to say this, that for those who raise their hands, man, that's the best decision ever. That's the best decision ever. You watch God change your life. You watch how you would experience His love for you and how He's going to begin to put things in place. Let's all pray this prayer, Sun Life Church. Let's pray it loud. Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know I cannot save myself. I believe You died. I believe You rose from the grave. I believe You took my place on that cross. I believe You paid for my sin. Today I turn away from my sin and I turn towards You, Jesus. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Make me new. I give my life to You. From this day forward, I choose You. In Your name I pray. Everyone says loudly, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.